It's time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And I do believe if we are lucky enough, we both have John and Janet lined up. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's true. It's both of them.
Beginning of an exciting time for you guys, Janet, beginning this weekend and running into next month.
It is, isn't it? It's fantastic. Our 125th anniversary, and we start the celebration with this week's issue, with a really special wraparound front page package.
Yeah, when people pick it up, and also the great thing about being online with it is you can actually zoom in on that. This is the first edition of the Lakeville Journal,
right? First front page,
and you can zoom in on it and stuff like that. If you have a computer, it really makes it's the first thing I did with it is I downloaded the page, I turned it to the side, and I zoomed it up, and it was absolutely amazing. It was like reading the paper the first time.
Right, it is. It's a great feature online to be able to zoom in like that, especially with this front page. You can pretty much read it in print, too, but, boy, a lot easier if you can zoom in.
Yeah, it's
fascinating.
It's one of the first things I did. All right. We'll start off with cannabis, and the state is grappling with the legislation as near legality time comes upon us.
Yes, we have a news analysis by Terry Cowgill on what the state has been working on and what interest there is in selling and cultivating cannabis. The issue really is all about regulating cultivation, and it remains as everybody knows, on the federal level, a Schedule I narcotic. So Connecticut, along with many, many other states, has decided to make it legal. And so in Connecticut, what we did compared to other states was, instead of having a referendum, the General Assembly passed it. So after that, the state also created really a Department of Consumer Protection subunit to take care of this. They're looking at all kinds of things like whether or not there's a social equity component to this issue, whether or not it's been decided that cannabis cultivation is not agriculture, so that creates another sort of wrinkle. But Terry's done a great job of really exploring the first wave of question about how this is going to work out, and next week we'll follow up with another one on how people are preparing both retail and cultivation for adult use cannabis.
All right. Now we'll go to the other big story on the page, and you saw the video, and there's a big article right on your front page. Basically, as it stands right now, even though it's before the state, Nuvance is planning to go ahead with the phase out of the labor and delivery and the reorganization of the emergency department.
Yes, and this is, of course, a story of enormous interest in the northwest corner. The hospital really sees that it needs to have something in the range of 500 births a year to be able to have a viable labor and delivery unit, and those births are really they're in the vicinity of 200 plus. They have a plan, and they seem to be, marching to that plan. The webinar also went into some detail about improvements and investments the hospital's making to the hospital, as well as challenges it's facing, like recruiting staff. But it should also be mentioned that, to Sharon Hospital's great credit, they, for the third consecutive, five-star rating from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So they were very proud to mention that as well. The question came with the demographic change in the region. Is that causing them to rethink their plans? And the answer came back no.
All right, it's going to be this is something that's going to be really interesting to follow, especially, you know, like you applied there, with the, whatever the state does, to see how it affects Nuvance and what they end up doing with Sharon Hospital. Now, on the brighter side of that, to the other side of the homepage, you've got a great picture and a story as the pandemic eases. Housatonic students travel the world.
Yeah, this is a story about how the Housatonic students are back on the world travel gig. They went 9 days exploring Athens, Olympia, Delphi, and several islands in Greece. And they had last year gone to Costa Rica and Ecuador. They're planning, it's a club that raises money to be able to make this trip possible. And they are planning to boost that again this year with a dinner at the White Hart on September 16th. To raise up to $50,000 for next year's trips. The students quoted in the story describe how it really is a lasting impact to go on a trip like this, and especially with your classmates. It's a really nice story.
Well, the nice thing about this is I come from the class of 71, and Amory Mueller, who was a visiting AFS student here, still remains in contact with most of her classmates. And it's just that interesting fact of being able to go someplace and see other people, other lands, other traditions, the way people live, brings a different and lasting change into people every time, especially young people when they go abroad. So it's more than just an educational experience in the words of schooling. It really is an educational life experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking about traveling the world, we were all very familiar with Elaine LaRoche, and she would go to China. She'd go to China, all over the China, and then she came back, and in passports, you would find what she found there. And now I come to see in your story, John, that passports is going to close. And really, basic simple is, it's been 3 years since she passed away, and they just don't have the know-how that she had in China.
Yeah, well, they really cite how successful the passports was, and it certainly is a famed location in downtown Salisbury. And she cites, her daughter Eve cites the tremendous work of Christopher Bates and others to keep the store going. She will continue to own and maintain Line Rock Farm in Sharon, and that's a big wedding venue and events venue. But it is definitely a big piece of news that something's happening in downtown Salisbury.
Yeah, it's well, who knows? Maybe with the economy on the rebound, something else will come in there. And then the big brown bats. And this story caught my eye. 29 bats found in the Academy building. When Warren Gregory first purchased this building, and we started at that time WKZE AM 1020, there were shutters all over the building. So we had to paint the building. We took all the shutters off, and literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bats immediately took up home where? In the Sharon Cupola on the town hall. Well, when the cupola, 10 to 15 years later, was redone, and we had our shutters back on. When they started redoing the cupola, the bats came back to our shutters. The bats are pretty amazing creatures.
Yes, well, this is a great story about how the Academy building decided to figure out how to cohabit with these bats, and they pulled in the state biologist, who's a bat expert, and sort of putting together some ideas, even options like washable insulation so they can help to manage the offing. And it is a story. At the end, they found 29 bats that they counted. I'm sure there might have been more, but there's a sweet photo of some children and some adults with the state biologist sort of tallying up their count from the night, and they've got to use flashlights. It's dark at this point. But
You know, I saw the story, and Christine Zora was working at the FM, and I, of course, was working the AM, and we both had to get in here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And when the bats came back to the radio station and were living in the shutters, Dick Hermans, who hosts a music show, it was a late fall, but it's a warm night. And so he left the back door open. When Christine and I got here in the morning, there were 20 bats flying around inside the station. Christine did not go on the FM. I went on the AM. And then we went next door to our next door neighbor and got a cake plate and a cake holder. And one by one, we got all the bats. But it was freaky. It was freaky. Bats are just amazing. All right, we'll go on to the next page in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, we'll talk more about what you're doing beginning this week a little later on. But you've got some nice stories. First on two things that are returned and were bigger and better than ever, the Rose Algren Art Show and also the book signing in Sharon.
Yes, the Rose Algren Art Show was on the weekend. There were about 50 artists there. This is a very popular event. Rose Algren was a teacher and friend of a lot of artists and got this thing going. The proceeds for the show benefit the Cornwall Housing Corporation that really focuses on affordable housing solutions. But it was a hot weekend, as we all know, but lots of great art.
And to continue on with the fact that you had the Rose Algren Art Show and you also had the incredible book signing in Sharon. You also had the return of the crafts and arts and crafts sale on the green as well.
Yeah, it was the weekend. Just we were bursting at the seams with outdoor events like this. The book signing drew a lot of authors from far away, and there were about 40 authors there. Many of them were just so excited to be back. Adam Van Doren from Cornwall and New York was just, he'd been in past book signings. He was very happy to be back in person again. He had written in the past a book in collaboration, you know, with David McCulloch, who actually died over the weekend. So we made note of that. It's a big loss. And in Sharon on the Green, we also have a little story by Leela Hawken about Legaman opening up an ice cream shop. It was just one of those weekends that was a full-blown summer event.
Yeah, it's nice to have the Legaman expand into that space and open up the ice cream shop, because it is a artisanal ice cream, and it is very good. Talk about the historical exhibits. Kent Historical Exhibit is showcasing chairs that go back all the way to the 17th century.
Yes, this is a story by a new reporter on our side, Riley Klein, and he did a nice job describing at the Kent Historical Society the exhibit showcasing chairs of all kinds that even date back to Kent's Flanders Historic District. I think the show is that the chairs will be available. The exhibit will be up. You could by appointment go see them. On that same page in the paper, another historical society story is that the town has agreed to take over maintaining the Vets Monument in the town from the Historical Society, just due to, you know, the need to support it.
We'll talk about affordable housing. There's a forum on general housing that Cornwall is planning coming up.
Yes, they are now contemplating taking the next step, which is to hold a public forum in the fall. One of the things they're eyeing is the idea to be able to pass an ordinance that would allow the town to acquire funds to purchase land in the future for affordable housing. They're also looking at, they have some people lining up to volunteer, but they're looking at asking to use ARPA funds for development. So this is one more chapter in the affordable housing blanket that is coming down on our whole northwest corner.
We'll take a look at Compass in a few moments, but we're going to go to the editorial pages, letters, yes, but then your editorial with gratitude. We made it because of you, and then celebrating 125 years.
Right. We have two editorials this week. One I put together thanking our readers and supporters for, over the past 3 years, finding ways to keep us going, giving us money and buying the paper. And so we couldn't be more grateful for that. I express that here. The second one, the second editorial, is from Alexander Wilburn, our senior associate editor, who has been key in helping to plan and implement the 125th anniversary events coming up, along with Dan Dwyer and our entire committee. Celebrating 125 years, and Alexander talks about what makes this area so unique and how we fit into it. So by all means, read them over.
All right. Very quickly, you've got a good story on what North Canaan is going to do with their American Rescue Plan Act funds.
Yes, North Canaan was the last of the six towns in the northwest corner to begin to allocate the money. They got together, and they're doing a whole host of upgrades and improvements, from painting buildings to drainage work to putting up a pole barn to buying a new ambulance for the North Canaan Volunteer Ambulance. So it is a pretty chock full of a list of things they're going to spend it on, right down to computers.
And I did a story on this when I got the press release. But it's not often that the music director changes in Salisbury at the Congregational Church, but you have a nice story on the new music director.
Yes, we do, and he is he lives down in Danbury, but will be here at the Congregational Church of Salisbury. David Baranowski, he's succeeding Lord Kalchan, who has been there for the past couple of years. And Baranowski is a very wide-ranging musician. He's conducted operas, musicals, church choirs, in addition to, you know, a wide experience there. He's toured as a performer in Europe and has been a keyboardist for the last 18 years for Blackmore's Night, which is led by Richie Blackmore, a founder of famed 60s band Deep Purple. So we're very excited to get this story, and it's definitely going to light up the music over at the church.
All right, we're going to go to Compass, Janet, for just a few moments, and then we're going to get back to the itinerary for the celebration, the month long celebration for the Lakeville Journal. But I guess we should take a look at Compass at first.
We do. We have two compasses, one in the paper, which we have every week, two pages of it, and Dee Solomon is writing about ungardening for us. We have a piece on the exhibit that's going to be opening in Salisbury, celebrating 125 years for the Lakeville Journal. We have Divya Simmers writing about unexpected warmth of the Getty clan, growing up Getty. She's writing about this, which is fascinating, and Ed Furman writing about streaming, which we always love getting these from him. He's recommending for us three groundbreaking musicals, Oklahoma, Cabaret, West Side Story, and telling us what versions we should watch and why. Always great. We also have a tabloid compass, 20 pages of what to do in August and September in the tri-state region. And we're so happy to have a story on Brandon Semeca and the Woodland Restaurant in Lakeville. He was kind enough to sit down with me and talk about how he sees his mission going forward at the Woodland, which is such an iconic restaurant in the region. We have stories about design, art, time travel, streaming, cool cars, books, and ice cream. So in addition, we have the Tri-State Calendar of Events. So read through, find out what you want to do for the rest of the summer, and by all means, include what's coming up, celebrating the 125th anniversary of the Lakeville Journal.
Well, let's start with that, with Saturday, August 13th.
Right. This is the opening reception for the Salisbury Association's Life of a Community. The Lakeville Journal celebrates 125 years exhibit, and we at the Lakeville Journal put together a depiction of what has happened over the years, and it's a combination of visuals and actual objects you can come through and take a look at and look through old papers and have some fun. It'll happen from 4 to 6 on Saturday, August 13th.
And then coming up on Sunday, you have the street fair, which is going to happen on Academy Street.
Right. It's the actual anniversary day street fair. And, boy, this group putting it together, Dan Dwyer and so many others, have found a way to make it seem old-fashioned. And there will be live music, stilt walkers, food stalls, children's games, a community tent with lots of nonprofits under there so you become familiar with the area and what's happening right now. We are not looking only at the past but at the future, and there's a specially designed streetscape. Don't miss it. That goes from 10 to 4 on Sunday.
And then, of course, you factor in what's going to come after that. The movie house is involved with their four movies, and you're going to have the Jubilee, and you're going to have also Brian Ross interviewing. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff coming up that celebrates the past but does look to the future.
It does, and we're so fortunate that other venues in the area are really doing the work for several of these events. And so the Movie House film series, you know, the committee spoke with them about what would be great journalism movies, and they wound up with getting the ones they could get. They couldn't get all the ones they wanted, but they got All the President's Men, His Girl Friday, Citizen Kane, and The Killing Fields. And, boy, go to themoviehouse.net and look at Movies Make the News film series, sign up, and take a look at what they have going for each event. And Sharon Playhouse doing a patio cabaret, What's in the Daily News, which will be so much fun. Musical numbers, tap dancing, popular hit songs, revolving around critics, reviews, and current events. It'll be great.
And then, of course, the Salisbury Forum with Brian Ross taking a look at the industry.
We're so fortunate to have Brian on our foundation board, well-known worldwide investigative reporter. He'll be sitting down to speak with Martin Barron, former executive editor of the Washington Post, our Lakeville Journal editor, John Costin, and Subrata Day, executive vice president of Vice News, who, you know, this will be an interesting, far-reaching, and profound discussion.
And when you think back, with that discussion, you look back into the past, and then you look at the paper this week, or you go online and look at tricornernews.com and look at it and see the first edition 125 years ago of the Lakeville Journal, and then you wrap it up with taking a look at going to that forum, talking about news and today. It's amazing. It's an amazing juxtaposition there.
It is, and we can't forget about the newsprint Jubilee, which will be just for fun, concluding gala reception September 17th at 5 o'clock at the Town Grove in Lakeville. And, you know, that will be a great way to just wind this down and get ready for the 126th year.
All right. Busy times for you folks at the Lakeville Journal. Congratulations and happy birthday, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find the journal at newsstands, of course, and also at tricornernews.com. You can find this show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.